Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Okay, what do all these funny people have in common? Cecily Strong, Jason Mantzoukas, Duncan Trussell, Paul Scheer, Scott Aukerman, Beth Stelling, Tom Papa, Lauren Lapkus, Louis Anderson, Lisa Gilroy, Paul F. Tompkins, and Sir Patrick Stewart. They've all played characters on the hit comedy podcast Mega, an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch. The next time you're in the mood for some laughs, great guests, out-of-this-world improv and cultural commentary, we're here for you, baby. Listen to Mega anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, we're counting our chickens before they hatch. Kelly Rutkowski, founder of Poultry DVM and the Adopt-A-Bird Network, is here to talk about raising barnyard fowl in your backyard. Don't chicken out on this chance to learn your cocks and hens. Plus, Utz Chips. Their advertising claim is the crunch that connects us all. We'll put that to the test tonight. Does it, Utz? Does it? And more theme songs from you, the nobodies out in the world. Also, we'll roll out our new fundraising pitch. We give you chickens, you give us bucks. I'm Adam Felber, the man who always tries to keep our conversational fowls within the boundaries of the hen house. And now, please welcome the woman whose talk is always going to be free range, Paula Poundstone!
Hey! Boy, that is nice.
Oh, yeah, that is. Welcome, Paul. And, of course, a thank you to tonight's house band, piano player Jamie Chamberlain. Oh, no, that was the human voice.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
Yes,
yeah.
The soprano Jamie Chamberlain. Jamie, welcome back to
Hello, Adam. Hi, Paula. It's great to be back.
We
nice
love
to
having
have you
back.
Thank you.
All right, Paula, let's first get to Utz.
Let's get to the Utz.
And, we were talking all, for the last week, we were saying we're going to get Utz chips, right?
Yeah.
And just now, we learned that they're not Utz chips.
What are they?
They're Utz chips.
Utz!
Yes, because our guest's friend, who's here in the studio tonight, what's your name?
Andrew.
He's from Hanover, Pennsylvania, where Utz are from.
So he knew the pronunciation
of these three-letter eponymous chips, yes.
It could just be that here in California, we say Utz, whereas in Pennsylvania, they say Utz. You know, Pennsylvania has a pronunciation and a language almost all its own.
It does. And in fact, according to our new friend, that's Pennsylvania Dutch country.
Right.
So God knows what they're getting up to.
Utz. A lot. These are actually fried bonnets.
They are. They're fried bonnets. So anyway, they make this advertising claim. Let me give you a little background on Utz. From their website. Our founders, Bill and Sally Utz, you see, saying Utz makes me feel like I'm burping, thought snacks should be made from clean, simple ingredients, minimally processed. So they started Utz back in 1921, when maximally processed food wasn't even a thing yet. So I don't,
so
yeah. Bill and Sally,
so I don't see how they could have worried about that.
Why were they taking a stand in 1921 against artificial additives?
Yeah. In fact, what they took a stand against back then was the food just rotting in the bag.
Today, we are still a family-managed business, almost 100 years after Bill and Sally made the first batch of potato chips in their kitchen in Hanover, Pennsylvania, the snack capital of the world.
Wow. Still a family-managed business. I can't think of anything more painful.
Than managing a snack business?
Just, whenever they say, like, oh, it's like a family here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
I
now we're
going
to see if this is the they claim to have the crunch that connects us all.
That's what they say. All right, so we had Ken Lezebnik, right? Or did we order him off the internet?
I think Bonnie Burns went on the internet and ordered a giant box of
Uggs chips. She stays up all night ordering stuff on the internet. Yeah. But so Captain Crinkle got us some chips. So this a big box came.
Yeah, with a sampler.
With a single serving bag of many different kinds of
We've got chips. The original chips, the sour cream and onion chips.
I have in my hand the barbecue chips.
The white cheddar popcorn.
The original chips. The cheese curls.
The salt and vinegar potato chips. And the Utz extra thins pretzels.
Now, do the pretzels make the same claim that it's the crunch that connects us all?
You know, I don't think it says product-specific claim.
Oh, just in general?
I think they are in general the crunch that connects us all. But what we're going to find out is we're going to pass some Utz around the room.
All right.
And everybody's going to have some. Yeah. Who wants salt and vinegar?
And if someone doesn't want the Utz chips, we'll just Utz them into it. Come on. Come on, have an Utz. Come on. Come on, have an Utz. Stop Utzing me.
Everybody likes Utz. Captain Crinkle. Wants the cheddar popcorn. Now, I'm against handing Captain Crinkle anything made of plastic or foil, but...
But those are not all that crunchy, the popcorn.
Okay, that's 10 grams of fat. That's
I'm going to try the salt and vinegar. Now, Captain Crinkle, this is not an invitation for you to speak.
No.
Because she's sitting there in the background going, my God, it's got 10 grams of fat in it.
That's not that good.
Shut up! How about shutting up? The fat content of your cheese popcorn, and stop saying is my point. The fat content of your cheese popcorn is not the issue here. The issue here is that we're all going to taste some of these Utz chips and see if the crunch connects us all.
You know what? I'll be honest. I've never understood the nutrition facts. This says sodium, it says 95 milligrams, 4%. 4% of what?
The nutritional.
Of the would you shut up?
The suggested daily value.
Everybody, this is mine and Paula's podcast. What the hell is going on?
All right, so it's 4%
of the U.S. recommended daily allowance of these things. Like,
does that mean I have 96% more sodium to eat today?
Yeah, assumedly you'd eaten enough.
No, I hadn't.
Really?
No, I'm going after the show tonight. I'm going to a Salt Lick.
Okay. Well, I'm eating this. This is a very standard tasting salt and vinegar chip.
Yeah.
But it's not it's not the taste that we're in it for.
No. Sorry. Wait, sorry.
Oh, no. Don't Utz on me.
This is not to decide if they're tasty.
No.
Or if they have a lot of calories. They have a lot of salt.
No.
What we are deciding. Is if it is the crunch that connects us.
Yes.
And frankly, it's already a little bit fractious in this room.
It is.
I don't feel connected.
I don't feel more connected. I'm ready to kill Captain Crinkle, and we're like 5 minutes into the frickin' podcast.
Yeah. I feel, if anything...
I feel connected to you, but like as usual.
I feel very connected to you. But frankly, I felt connected to you when we tried the Dr. Scholl's foot inserts.
Yeah, and they don't make that claim at all.
No.
All right, well, we gotta give it time. We gotta give it time.
Yeah, let's see if we'll check back in later
we're
and see if we feel more connected.
On this Utz crap, and no offense to the Hanoverians in the room, and we'll see if it connects us all by the end of it.
Oh,
Bonnie Burns, Wallace manager, Captain Crinkle just saw me looking at her because she was in fact crinkling.
And so she threw the bag
she threw
on
the
top
bag
of
at us.
Yeah. Really, a bag in the center of our circle table where the microphones are.
Yeah.
That is literally like a mountain of chip bags.
Of chip bags.
Yeah.
There is nothing she does at this podcast that isn't entirely infuriating.
My hope for tonight's podcast is during it, I'll be able to summit Snack Mountain.
I hope you will.
I gotta get my carabiners.
I believe in you.
Eating at them.
While we're discovering if our Utz chips are the crunch that connects us all, and I'm loath to bring this up, but you said that you had a nipple update.
Let
me review for everybody that over the summer, Paula, whose nipples had lived a blameless existence until then.
Precisely. Got never any nipple injuries.
Never any nipple injuries. Got two of them. First by one cat, and then by another cat. She had her left and then her right nipple pierced, as it were.
Impaled.
Impaled.
By
cat claws.
And that had never happened before. I've had cats for 30 years. Not an individual cat for 30 years, but cats for 30 years. And I've had nipples for, 30 plus years.
Well, easily.
And
here's the thing. The last update that we had, you reported that it was over and everything was healed. And I thought that we were ready to move on from
I was hoping.
Yeah. But now there's an update?
So, I don't see very well. And I have a little peripheral vision problem. So I was stepping out of our garage into the backyard the other night, and I walked into a collapsed sun umbrella. And damn, if the end of the sun umbrella didn't poke right into my right nipple.
You mean the pointy part of the umbrella?
Yeah. No. Not the top, the edge.
One of the little I'm sure there's a word for those umbrellas.
I'm sure there is, and I know some listeners going to write to
us. But you walked nipple first into that.
I walked nipple first into it, because I was walking proudly, Adam.
Okay.
With my chest sticking out.
Right. Why did you leave a house?
I was graduating from the garage.
Okay.
And, boom, right? I mean, right, I think part of it was just that I was so not expecting it.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it didn't pierce. You know why it didn't pierce?
Because it popped.
No, scar tissue.
So, fortunately,
I've had enough. I'm actually building calluses up on my nipples now.
Now, this is the one that was first pierced, right?
It was the right. I can't remember. No, the left was the first one, I think, to go.
Okay, so this is the more recently injured one.
It was. Now, but there's scar tissue there, Adam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just a nipple update.
Now,
because people are always asking now, how are your nipples? How are your nipples?
That's got to be weird for you when you play live.
When you just think of it as a body part, not really.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not weird for you to talk about your nipples with your fans?
Not anymore.
Okay.
It was in the beginning, but now that they're at risk.
Yeah, they're at risk nipples. A few weeks ago, you advanced the idea that since, you've been working out a lot and moving towards your Taekwondo black belt.
I just got my Panda Bear belt.
That's not a thing.
I think it is.
Okay.
I paid a lot of money for it.
Okay. Well,
I hope it is.
In any case, you're moving towards a black belt very quickly, and you advanced the theory that because you've built up so much muscle mass in your chest, that maybe your nipples were more prominent now.
I do think that's true. I do think they stick out a little
bit
more.
So our listeners can look forward to many more amusing anecdotes about you injuring your nipples.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm hoping not. But it does make sense that that could be part of the problem. Yeah, because
absolutely.
I also did, I have twice shut at least one, perhaps two nipples at a time in my open laptop when I went to close it.
How recently were those?
I can't remember
that
anymore.
That sounds really painful.
You'll have to ask my neighbors. They would know from the... It's very painful, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll prevent you from scrolling around late at night.
Oh, yeah. The risks.
Apparently, Bonnie Burns, who orders stuff on the internet in the middle of the night, she's not troubled by
that.
No,
she's probably got some kind of nipple guards or something.
Yeah, Captain Crinkle.
Right. Now, now, Paula,
yes.
Every week you have a word for us.
This week is not different in that way, Adam. This week's word is... Horloge.
Horloge?
Horloge. It's a noun.
Is that an amount of whores?
Horloge. No, that has nothing to do with whores at all.
All right.
Horloge.
That dropped utensil in the background courtesy of Captain Crinkle.
When you said whores, she dropped something. All right. Horloge is a noun. It means a timepiece as a clock, watch, or hourglass. Horloge.
Oh, horloge.
Yeah. I happen to wear two horologes, you'll recall.
Yeah, so it's a timepiece of any kind?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, Adam, I wouldn't say of any kind. I would say as a clock, watch, or hourglass. Here, I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay.
I was so tired, I slept through the alarm from my horloge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was worth
sentence.
The trip.
Yeah. Well, I was just trying to use it in a sentence so people would know. Yeah. It's a timepiece, Adam. It's a noun that means timepiece as a clock, watch, or hourglass. But here's the thing. I've had a really hard time really learning the vocabulary words.
We've been talking about how we need to solve that problem by perhaps asking our listeners to submit a song using as many of our vocabulary words as they could.
Well, what I like to do is start, what I did is, I have a vocabulary word song, and I begin with this week, and that I add on, so it just gets longer each week.
But it's not really a song.
This week's word is horloge. It's a noun that means timepiece as a clock, watch, or hourglass. Last week's word was probity, a noun meaning moral excellent integrity. The week before that, we had nugatory. It's an adjective that means worthless, having no force, inoperative. Adam didn't think it was the right word to describe the incorrectly prescribed antibiotic for my bladder infection, but I did. You know, it's funny having an opera singer here tonight because she's able to appreciate what
she's
very impressed with you.
Yeah.
I'm a little impressed because that was more like a song than the thing you did last week.
Shakespearean thing that I did?
It was more of a declamation last time. This was felt a little swinging.
This is a beautiful song.
No, it's not a beautiful song, but it
is a beautiful song. Kids are going to be singing this up and down the block.
I don't think you could sing it the same way again.
What?
I think you were just kind of winging it, and if you sang it again, it wouldn't come out the same way.
This week's word is horloge. It's a noun that means timepiece as a clock, watch, or hourglass.
I rest my case.
It's exactly the same. It can't be.
All right. I'll remind our listeners that if you want to spare us from Paula's song, you can submit your own song with our vocabulary words. You can even submit that along with your theme song contest song.
Yeah, we'd love to have that.
Send it over to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone at gmail.com.
You know, our podcast.
This week's word is horloge.
Yeah, see, exactly. Yeah. The kids love it. Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo, and he has a really grovelly voice. So it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted, and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. Our podcast is very popular and a lot of people want to join us on the podcast, not the least of which is Tom Hanks. Did I tell you that?
Yes.
Tom Hanks.
You've been saying that Tom Hanks is this close to coming on our podcast.
He wants to come.
Right.
He won't come if Mrs. Culpepper is wearing her ruby sateen dress.
Right. Mrs. Culpepper, the hand puppet that doesn't actually wear anything.
That's not true. Adam Thelma,
here she is.
A beautiful red sateen dress. And fuck Tom Hanks. I'm wearing my red sateen dress no matter what. Do not truckle to Tom Hanks.
Did you just say fuck Tom Hanks, Mrs. Culpepper?
I didn't mean to.
I'm just appalled. At the what would your husband say when you get home and you tell him that you've made this terrible faux pas?
Well, Captain Culpepper is not at home currently, Adam Thelma.
Oh, really? He must be at work then, or on assignment.
No. Actually, Adam Thelma, Mr. Captain Culpepper is deceased.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Culpepper.
It is painful, a painful memory to bring up.
I'm sure it was something very common that got him, like tyrotoxism.
It was!
Oh, wow! I just pulled that term out of thin air.
It was tyrotoxism, yes. Which for a while I had been pronouncing incorrectly.
For years, it seems.
I have been saying tyrotoxism.
Yeah, it's
that's when you try to get someone to be poisoned by cheese. Tyrotoxism is an accidental cheese poisoning
or dairy product.
Yeah.
Yes. And in the captain's case, it was cheese.
It was cheese. It was cheese.
Any particular kind of cheese, Mrs. Culpepper?
It was the Gouda that got him, Adam Thelma.
Thank you, Mrs. Culpepper.
Tom Hanks says that he will only come on.
Okay.
He wanted us to have pettifors, and we have pettifors this week. We have pettifors.
We don't.
And I called him, and I said, we have pettifors this week.
Right.
And now he says he won't come unless you wear an Argyle sweater vest.
I have to wear an Argyle sweater vest?
I didn't think you would, and so I didn't call you right away. But Tom Hanks was, he's right over now at Roger Federer's
Well, he's not.
Store.
That's not Roger Federer's store. I looked at it coming here tonight. It's called Federer, and it's an appliance place, and it's not Federer.
No, it's Roger Federer's store. He sells appliances in
not
there.
Unless a Federer
you know,
is one who fetters.
You can't win every fucking tennis game, Adam. Sometimes you got to have a steady income. You know, the guy.
Are you telling me anybody on Miranda Street has a steady income?
Yeah.
All right. In any case, I think having Tom Hanks on the show is worth me wearing an Argyle sweater.
Would you do that?
Sweater vest. Absolutely.
I love that.
Of course I will.
Don't truckle to Tom Hanks.
Now, you stay
Mr.
out of
Thelma,
this, Mrs. Culpepper.
I will not. I will wear my ruby sateen dress. Don't truckle to him, Sue.
Oh, how did we become a puppet show? Coming up, E.B. White.
Next thing you know, he'll be wanting a gold horologe.
Oh, like a gold watch.
Yeah.
Or gold grandfather clock.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Coming up, E.B. White said, I don't know what is more discouraging, literature or chickens. Our next guest finds nothing discouraging about chickens. We'll be back to find out how to raise poultry in our backyards with chicken expert Kelly Rutkowski when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
There were chips in a bag, but we never heard them crinkling. No, we never heard them at all, till there was you.
Ah, till there was you.
Till there was Captain Crinkle.
I think that's exactly what was being inferred there. Captain Crinkle, who's rapidly crinkling every bag of Utz in the place. Now, how are you with the Utzes? The Utzes.
You know what? I can't say that I feel connected. For one thing, Captain Crinkle, who sits to my right, has just been done nothing but complain.
Yeah.
Since we started eating the chips, because she doesn't understand what we're testing.
No.
She's telling me that they're not salty, that they seem stale, that they don't smell good, that they don't look good on her, that they don't get good mileage.
It seems like everybody here.
That you have to take your chip in for a checkup every few days.
Yeah, she's got a whole
That they don't
litany.
Know how to sing, that they can't play soccer.
Yeah.
That they bite. They bite. Yeah. That's what she said.
She said
they
the
bite.
Chips bite, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, all we're testing is the claim that it's the chip.
The crunch.
The crunch that connects us all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a crunch that connects us all, isn't it?
I can't remember.
Let's look.
I
got to say, those Pennsylvania Dutch must have great eyesight because the print on those bags is so small. Okay. Yeah, I guess Bill and Sally Utz had a great eyesight.
Yeah.
Crunch that connects us all.
It's the crunch that connects us all.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Bill and Sally Utz is they were not connected originally. They found each other.
No, but they were both connected to other people because they were both, oddly enough, conjoined twins.
No, that is not
That's absolutely true.
That is not true.
Yes. Bill's brother Phil and Sally's brother Marjorie. They were fraternal twins.
Connected.
Conjoined fraternal twins.
Yeah. Yeah. Very hard to do. No, but apparently one of the stories that used to get told in Hanover is that, and this is 1921, remember?
Right, sure.
That Bill was with another woman and Sally was with him. They lived next door to each other.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, Bill was one night eating a potato chip and Sally heard it and came over.
And fell in love.
And so it was the crunch that connected them.
Broke up Bill's first marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't connect everybody. It's just a story that used to get told in Hanover.
Is that true?
Pennsylvania.
Yes. Oh, yeah, all right.
Thank you. Yeah, we checked with our Hanoverian friend from Hanover, Pennsylvania.
All right, now, Paula, in addition to chips, you like eggs.
I love eggs, but here's the thing.
Okay.
I don't eat eggs anymore.
Why
because
not?
I don't want to bother chickens.
What do you mean bother them?
I don't want to, because, you know, when the egg companies get the eggs from the chickens, it's not nice to the chickens.
That's true. So
I
why don't you
want to
just
be mean to
so
chickens.
So why don't you just get your own eggs?
I am not able to produce eggs anymore.
No, I don't mean like that. I meant like...
And I don't think those would be tasty anyways.
I meant you could keep chickens.
I mean...
No.
Obviously, you've never been a woman.
I wouldn't think that those would be tasty. I was suggesting that you keep chickens, not that you harvest your own ovaries.
I would like to keep chickens, but I don't know how. I really want to find out how.
Okay, well, we have someone here who can tell us everything we need to know about the life of the urban chicken. Kelly Rutkowski is the founder of Poultry DVM. Don't know what that stands for.
DVM?
Yeah.
It's where the chickens get their licenses.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Adopt-A-Bird Network. She's partnered with LA Animal Services to present backyard chicken workshops around Los Angeles. Please welcome Kelly Rutkowski. All right.
Kelly, is it possible to have happy chickens that are treated properly in my backyard, keeping in mind that I do have two big dogs?
Yes, it is absolutely possible.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you can keep them in the backyard with your dogs, as long as, you just kind of moderate the, you know, don't
How
leave
many
them.
Chickens the dogs can eat?
Well, just don't leave them alone unsupervised with your dog.
Yeah, I don't want
to. Who will win a battle between chicken and dog?
I have a feeling the dog would.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, my dog Mo tracked a palmetto bug the other night. The odds of tracking a chicken are pretty strong. So what is the poultry DVM?
It stands for Doctorate of Veterinary Medicine. You know, for humans, DVM is for animals.
Oh, and you're the founder of it?
Yes.
What does Adopt a Bird Network do?
It helps the chickens.
Well, I think I could provide this one. Well, go ahead.
It helps the chickens and other birds in animal shelters find homes.
Uh-huh. Are there a lot of chickens in animal shelters?
A lot more than people realize.
Wow.
I would think they'd go straight to the freezer case after, you know, being found on the street, but there it is.
Not all the shelters will take them, but there's a growing trend. More and more we're taking them in.
Now, how many chickens do you personally own?
I have 16.
16 wow. chickens. And are they strictly for eggs?
No, actually most of them are roosters.
Are what?
Most of mine are roosters.
Oh. Not a lot of eggs from those.
No.
So don't be disappointed in yourself, Adam.
No, I've been trying, Paul. Yeah, one day I'm going to get there.
You can't produce
eggs. I am going to do it. You'll see.
How much space do chickens need?
Well,
nope, that wasn't
Adam's
an egg.
Trying to produce eggs right now. Can't be done. How much space do chickens need?
Well, it depends on how many you have. And also your space. Like if you have a traditional coop, about 2 to 4 square feet per bird.
Uh-huh.
And if the outside area is about 12 to 16 square feet per bird is what the recommendation for
And why minimum. Roosters? Don't they fight with each other?
They don't. People think they do, but they don't always.
Okay.
They can get along. I have 6 roosters that live together and they're happy.
And you're
when
not getting any eggs
cards,
out of that.
Play cards, talk about sports, that sort of thing?
They hang out.
A lot of locker room talk between those roosters talking about what they grab. All right. And now let me ask you this. As I said, part of the reasons I don't eat eggs is because I don't want the chickens mistreated. But on television, there's an ad where an actor who plays a chef claims that cage-free chickens are just chickens that are raised in warehouses. And he seems to indicate that these cage-free egg-laying chickens are not comfortable either. Is that true? If you buy, you know, like I used to be comforted by the words cage-free on the boxes of eggs that I did buy back when I ate eggs.
Well, it depends. You know, the main problem I find with any of those is the end result is when they stop laying eggs is they kill them.
Oh, wow.
So it's like
in the movie Chicken Run where the chicken thought that they went on holiday.
So no matter how well they're treated, it doesn't matter. They're going to still live.
Okay.
There's
a lot of pressure on chickens to keep laying eggs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've had some jobs like that, but instead of eggs, they were jokes.
Yeah, you had to keep laying your jokes. Wow.
Yeah.
So what are ideal circumstances for a chicken environment? Like a pool, cable, Wi-Fi? What do they need?
Oh.
What do they want?
Well, they're happy. They just like pecking around. I mean, they're happy with just some, you know, grass. And the big thing with chickens, I find, is like something called enrichment items.
Enrichment items?
Mm-hmm.
Like workbooks?
Yeah. Like workbooks.
Chicken workbooks.
Like, you know, you can put a cabbage on a string. Just little things to keep them motivated and keep them mentally stimulated.
You put a cabbage on a string?
Just one example.
How do you put? So you stab a hole through the center of the cabbage?
You could just tie the cabbage with the string. Or
you tie the cabbage
things
with the string.
What does a cabbage on a string do for chicken brains?
And then you dangle it in front of a chicken, and when the chicken goes for it, you pull it away?
Well, no, you just hang it, and then they all peck at it.
Oh, and it moves.
It sways.
Oh, I got you.
That sounds kind of fun.
I thought you were like, go ahead, get the cabbage. Nah, you don't. Go ahead,
that
get
would
the
be
cabbage.
Mean.
Nah, yes.
So this is more like chicken tetherball, right?
Wow.
Exactly.
Oh, it's chicken tetherball. Oh,
essentially.
That's a great idea. Huh. What other sports do they like? I know this is going to sound like a really stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Okay.
There
are no stupid questions.
Just you wait. So, why don't chickens grow in the eggs that we eat?
Oh, now that's a stupid question. You must know the answer to that.
Not really.
Why don't you have any biological children?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Oh, because the eggs haven't been fertilized.
Yeah.
Okay, but when they fertilize them.
Am I right about that one?
Yeah, that's one part of it.
One part of it? Okay.
There, see?
All right.
Yeah. And
what's another part of it?
That they're not incubated for 21 days.
Oh, they got to sit on them for 21 days.
Yes.
Okay.
So what do they do?
Oh, so a chicken can have as much sex as it wants. If you take the eggs away quick, they're edible eggs.
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. They could have. You could have like a house full of promiscuous chickens. Yeah, I didn't know that. You're right. It was not a stupid question at all.
So it's just that you take it away before it develops.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, if there's a rooster.
Yeah. If there's a rooster.
Yeah.
Now, you have to have a rooster then in order to get the eggs from the chicken, right? They can't adopt.
Well, no.
You know why they can't adopt?
You don't have to take that question seriously.
Do you know why they can't adopt? Because chickens can't fill out forms. That's why.
He has a lot of forms involved in adoption.
Yeah, and they, you know, the adoption worker picks up and goes, there's a chicken scratches. I can't read this.
Exactly.
So you do have to have a rooster?
To
get more chickens?
To get the eggs.
Oh, no, you don't need a rooster to...
They're laying eggs anyway.
Yeah.
Fertilized or unfertilized, they're laying them.
Wow.
How fast do they lay those eggs?
Well, it's usually like one a day, but that's the real high productive ones.
That's the ones that play chickens are small.
Cabbage volleyball and cabbage football.
And cabbage lacrosse.
Cabbage soccer. Yeah. And cabbage, what's the one, polo, cabbage water polo.
Those are the ones.
They can't walk 2 feet without dropping an egg.
You got to feed them a lot, I would guess, to make an egg a day.
The hens do eat a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Do they? What do they eat?
Well, chicken feed.
Chicken feed?
Yeah.
Layer brand.
What does that consist of?
Well, it's a mix.
Mostly corn, I would think.
Well, sometimes. Actually, too much corn is bad for...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Too much corn is bad for anybody.
You know who else doesn't know that? Uncle Henry and Auntie M. And the Wizard of Oz.
What do you mean?
Because they fed their chickens corn.
Did they?
Yes.
How do you know?
I saw the movie about 100 times.
How do you know it's corn? It could be anything. It's a black and white movie, for crying. It's not like they say, go get a bucket of corn and feed the chickens. You know, that's not a line in the movie.
Adam, the phone's ringing. Answer the phone.
The phone?
The phone.
Hello?
Hi, Adam. It's me, Mac LaPierre.
Mac LaPierre.
Yeah, my friends call me Mac and Cheese. It doesn't bother me at all.
No, you're from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin.
Much thicker accent this week than last week, Mac.
It doesn't bother me at all. Yeah. You know what I wanted to ask you, Adam?
Yes,
is,
Mac.
Why are you arguing with Miss Poundstone? She's so clearly right. Annie M and Uncle Henry, they fed their chickens corn.
Mac, can I answer your question with a question?
If you need to, if that makes you feel better.
I think it would. Given that we are not a radio broadcast and we pre-tape this show for the internet, how are you calling in the middle of the show?
You know, Adam, do you have to question everything?
Yeah, it's kind of my job.
You know, I call because I love you and I want to help you out as much as I can. Adam, let me ask you this. Do you walk with the Lord?
I don't walk with the Lord,
Mac. If you were walking with the Lord, you wouldn't be such an argumentative guy. You know? And you might have some eggs if you were walking with the Lord. Is the Lord a chicken, Mac? Yeah, you know what? It's different things to different people, Adam.
Well, how would I have eggs if I was walking with the Lord, Mac?
Very carefully, because, you know, Adam, I gotta go now. You're in the middle of working. I just called because I don't understand why you argue with Miss Poundstone.
Okay, thank you. She knows
a lot of stuff.
Thank you, Mac.
Yeah, all right.
All right, bye-bye.
Good talking to you, Mac. I gotta go here in a quick second. Okay.
Okay, we're back. Well, that's disturbing. Paula, would you have anything else you want to ask here in the interview?
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain...
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me down there my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Oh yeah, if I were going to raise chickens, what would I have to do? What would be the steps I would take to raise chickens?
Well, you would want to create an environment for them that would be safe in your backyard. So you'd want to buy them a coop. Well, and, you know, either predator-proof the coop and the run and buy them, you know, feeder and a water and perches.
Perches? Do they perch?
They do. They sleep. That's how they sleep at night.
On perches.
On perches? I thought they sat on like a shelf.
Well,
chicken
actually,
shelf.
I mean, if you keep an indoor house chicken, they do. They
would probably sleep on them. Inside. I mean, like, were there shelves in the coop? Not a perch, like a rod, like a parakeet would sit on.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Huh. I didn't
Your
know that.
Your picture is a little bed. Well, they have, it's because they're sitting where they're going to lay their eggs.
Don't they sit on their nest?
Yeah, they give them little, like, egg-laying places.
Well, that's a separate. They don't sleep where they nest.
They don't sleep where they nest?
Really?
Well, I mean, sometimes maybe they do, but that not traditionally. They usually lay their eggs in their nest and then sleep in a different area.
Oh, because they consider laying the eggs kind of work.
Maybe.
You know, so they clock out. And they walk over there.
Did you say cluck out?
No, I said clock out. I see what you're saying. They cluck out.
Yeah.
And then they walk over to their perch. They're like, Jesus, what a day. I was sitting on the nest for like 8 hours. I'm going to the perch.
Now, is everybody allowed to own chickens?
In the city of LA, you are allowed to own chickens if you have them 25 feet away from your house, the coop, I mean.
Why does it have to be 25 feet away from your house?
It's just... One of the
are chickens unclean?
Chickens. I actually think chickens are cleaner than dogs or cats.
Okay,
you
but you can't have them within 25 feet of your house, though.
It's just one of those zoning things.
I feel like you're like if I was an ace investigative reporter, this is where I'd be focusing in right now.
Really?
Because I feel
you
like
would
you're
really
avoiding
drill down
something.
On this?
I would drill down on this.
There
one.
Has to be a reason
There's
why
a reason.
It has to be 25 feet from
what
your house.
What is that reason, Kelly?
Go ahead, just say it, Kelly. They've been known to attack their owners. Go ahead, say it. In their sleep, they come in through the window.
I don't think they attack.
You don't want to answer this question, Kelly.
I'm not sure why it has to be 25 feet.
Okay, all right. We're gonna.
It's a zoning thing that is a bit of a mystery.
You're going to return to the show a little later under a subpoena. How many chickens can I have?
You can have, I don't believe there's a cap on it, as long as you can only have one rooster.
What? But you have six.
Well, I don't live in the city of LA.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Now, why can you only have one rooster?
That's why she's asked that we distort her face during this podcast, because she has six roosters.
Because they can be loud sometimes.
Oh, I see.
Oh, right, yeah,
they get competitive and stuff?
With their crowing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want that.
Yeah, I kind of do. I think it's cool. Do they really crow at dawn?
Sometimes.
Huh. Would you say that they are, and could I use them instead of my horologe?
Is that an alarm clock?
It's a timepiece.
Oh. Yes, they're great alarm clocks.
Are they? Great.
So you up at dawn every day?
I am.
Okay.
Wow. Boy, That's sounding less appealing. I'm up well before dawn, many, many mornings to go to work.
Right, of course.
But on the mornings, I don't have to go to work. You know, I set my horologe a little bit later.
So that you can sleep in a little bit.
And if Captain Crinkle doesn't call me, I manage to get in minutes.
How early does Captain Crinkle call you?
You know, she calls me before she goes to bed at like 8 in the morning.
So she's nocturnal as well.
She is. She has a perch and she hangs upside down on it.
Yeah. She'd be a lousy vampire because you'd always hear her coming.
Yeah. I want to suck your crinkle, 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 crinkle.
The children of the night, they can't be heard over my clinkling.
So are there these, when you're referring to coops, Kelly, are there coops that you buy like pre-made?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can buy a... Like a Barbie dream coop.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And then I could get the chickens at like an animal rescue place.
That would be ideal.
Yeah. Or
rescue chickens.
Yes.
Yeah. Rescue chickens. Yeah. Who wants to be rescued by a chicken? That's absurd.
No. It's not that. It's
you know what?
Chickens.
With the fires and all.
No, it's
everything was.
No, the chickens.
I didn't think I was going to get out of there, but fortunately, a chicken carried my stuff.
That's not really what happens.
I had a chicken in my go bag.
You do raise an interesting question. Can chickens be trained?
Yes.
Are
and
they
what
smart?
What can they be trained to do? Yeah. Are they smart?
I think they are very intelligent, actually.
Oh, okay.
And I've trained one of my roosters to jump through a hula hoop. Another one to crow on command.
What's the command?
Well, crow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Boy, that's, yeah. Huh. Yeah. No hiding that.
Nope.
Wow, that's good. Jump through a hula hoop, huh? I don't see how that's going to rescue you.
Well, there are no such thing as rescue. Rescue chickens are like rescue dogs.
Rescue dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they find people all the time debris and shit. You never see them. When there's been a big earthquake in another country, they never bring in chickens.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah. Buck, buck. Buck, buck, over here. Buck, buck, over here. Buck, buck.
What do people have wrong about chickens? Buck. What's the biggest misconception about chickens?
Probably that they think they're stupid when they're not.
Okay.
They also have lots of personality, and they can be just as affectionate as a dog or a cat. They can be great companions.
Oh, great. Oh, that's so such a sweet buck.
How long do they live?
If you're lucky, 5 to 7 years.
They're short-lived chickens.
The listeners are going to be going crazy to find out why the coop has to be 25 feet away.
Now, we're going to give you one last chance to answer that question. This is the bonus round.
Kelly's balked at this. All of a sudden, she's Kelly Pence.
Excuse me. Can our house band please cluck the Jeopardy theme? Okay, Kelly. 30 seconds on the clock. The question is, why do chickens have to be kept 25 feet from the house?
We're going to turn over all the cards.
You don't know?
Here's what I can't figure out. I wish you guys could see your face. Kelly, is it you don't know or that you don't want to say?
I really don't know because you can actually keep them in your house. So
can keep them in your house or 25 feet from your house.
But don't let it within 15 feet of your house.
This is kind of
I love how uncomfortable this question is making Kelly.
She's stripping down. These are the kind of regulations that people get upset about in business, like where there's just no earthly explanation for why that must be. Or it was something that made sense.
Well, California is overregulated.
50 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
50 years ago during the great chicken plague.
Yeah. Yeah. Now chickens are fine.
Yeah.
They have to be 25 feet away.
Maybe it's a restraining order.
Yeah.
Maybe there were some really abusive chickens in years gone by, and we finally were like, blanket restraining order.
No. Their name's on a list.
Yeah?
Yeah. Becky, Winnie, Plucky.
Plucky's
can't have
list.
Them anymore.
List.
Oh, I had one more question for you, which is, can I have a pig?
Yes, you can if you live in an area that's zoned for livestock.
Oh, Santa Monica?
It depends. It's going to be different in every
different
city.
In different places.
Why are you asking our chicken expert if you can have a pig?
I don't know. I just thought maybe she wanted to branch out.
All right. Well, Kelly, thanks for helping us crow about raising chickens. Paula, given all this wisdom that Kelly has imparted, what can you give our listeners about raising poultry in the backyard?
House band Jamie Chamberlain, if you could give me a little background music for my chicken lesson.
Bok, bok, bok.
Kelly told us that urban chickens have to be 25 feet from the owner's dwelling, but she didn't say why. Why? Why? It's been eating away at me. Could it be because you need the space for the chicken sport fans who come in droves to watch chicken tether cabbage? Is it for chicken mother may I? Is it for a fire lane? Don't let your chickens play with matches. Is it because chicken owners tend to be obese and this way at least twice a day they walk 25 feet? I don't know.
Kelly Rutkowski is the founder of Poultry DVM and the Adopt-A-Bird Network. Thank you very much for being on our show, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
We'll get to the bottom of this. When we come back, more listeners' theme songs from our theme song contest. That's coming up right after this.
If happy little roosters fly beyond the rainbow, why can't I?
The cat of the week is Miss Eartha Kitty from San Jose, California.
Je cherche un chat, un chat, un chat.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, but that's okay, she's got her foot in the door. So why not listen to Paula Poundstone? She's awesome and she sleeps on the floor. Sifting kitty litter like a champ is part of her game. She'll refuse to let it pile up and reek. She improvises riffs about the slightly inane, brightening the whole freaking week. Ba-bum-bum-bum. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, and that's a shame because she's a genius, you know. You ought to listen to Paula Poundstone, and Adam Felber's on every show. So grab some good advice and let's go bump, bump, bump. It's good advice she wants you to know. She plays ping pong.
Pong! That's...
Wow!
Well, Bragg, that was listener Howard Starrett's theme song. Remember that?
Yeah, that was a great one.
It was from last year.
Really
it was one of the first ones.
Really captured a, you know, sort of a portrait of me.
It kind of did.
And you!
Well, that's why we played it, because Howard was the one who introduced the idea, the meme, if you will, that Adam Felber's on every show.
You know, a lot of audience members come up to me when I'm on the road and ask if you really are on every show.
I don't think they ask that, because if they listen to the shows, they'll hear that you and I are both on every show.
No, they do.
I'm the only one who gets that as part of his descriptor. So in some ways, I'm a little resentful of Howard Starrett, because he's...
I love you, Howard. You're a genius.
Well, if you love him, you're going to love this, because apparently Howard came back at us with another theme song.
Really?
Now, I want to say right up in the top that like what we're going to play you is an excerpt from it, because it has a rather long tail on it, which is a sketch. It was very amusing, but we just don't have time for it on
sort
our show.
Sort of the Ulysses of theme songs.
Right, yes. It was the Ulysses of theme songs, and we thank you for it, Howard. But here's how it begins. Howard Starrett's new entry.
Nobody listens. Nobody listens. Since nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, here's the Captain Crinkle Show.
So he's... So I've been... What is that when you're not on the throne anymore?
You've been supplanted. You've been deposed. You've been dethroned.
I'm not. He's so Howard's...
By 20 seconds into his new opus, you're no longer the host of the show.
Howard's vision. Howard, I thought you understood me.
Yeah.
I thought you knew the ping pong, the sleeps on the floor. Next thing I know, I'm not. It's not even the. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone anymore. It's a Captain Crinkle show.
Don't get all worked up here. Have an Utz.
Is that going to connect us in any way? Is it the crunch that connects us?
I gotta say, it's supposed to be the crunch that connects us, and. As soon as that segment that we just did was over, our bird expert left. Our chicken expert just walked on out.
Yeah. But
so how connected was she to
us?
We
gave her three bags of Utz chips.
Yeah.
So she can disconnect from her boyfriend as well. Just more and more disconnecting.
Yeah, we're disconnecting everybody.
Yeah, no, I got to say, the Utz original chips taste just fine to me.
They don't
to me. They taste just fine, but I do not feel the crunch has connected us.
Can I say something that might...
Would you?
they're not a sponsor of ours, and now they'll never will be because
I'm not worried
those are
about that.
Shitty, shitty chips.
Oh, really?
No, they're terrible.
I wouldn't go.
They are bargain basement bad chips. They're the kind of chips that you get as a kid. They were the kind of chips that you'd find in school cafeterias, and you go like, oh, I guess they can't afford Lay's here. You know, it's like they're bodega chips. They're just like.
But did you have the originals? Because you guys are. Here's the problem. You're gone. You know, a chip starts out. I can guarantee you, Bill and Sally Utz never made barbecue chips or salt and vinegar chips. So what you're doing is you're going to the fringes of the brand.
Mission creep.
Yeah, precisely.
Paula, it's 2019. I hardly think sour cream and onion or barbecue are the fringes of a brand.
They are. It's not what Sally and Bill started with.
Well, fuck Sally and Bill.
They started with a crunch that connected them from two different households.
And you didn't get connected having that chip. I mean, there's
no. I have the original, and they tasted just fine. But I do not feel connected.
Okay.
If anything, look, you and I were at each other's
throats over this.
Absolutely,
totally
disconnected. And and Captain Crinkle, I may never speak to her again now that she's taken over the show. Thank you, Howard Sturt.
Speaking of Howard Sturt, we have some more entries in our theme song contest. All right, let's bring up right now a delightful song accompanied by a ukulele. I believe
here's
Paul Forey. Or 4E.
There we go.
I love that.
That's nice.
Did he throw in an F-bomb there?
It's not a bomb. It doesn't hurt people.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Paula fucking Poundstone.
Talk about
understanding me at my core. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Paul Forey.
Yeah, Paul, that was great.
It was really great. And was that a conscious homage to Tiny Tim?
When you play, you
can sing in a falsetto, I think you're thinking Tiny Tim a little bit.
I bet you Paul's not even old enough to know who Tiny Tim was.
Well, how could you tell Paul's age?
You couldn't tell Paul's age?
No. What's his age?
He's about maybe 30.
About 30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not old enough to know who Tiny Tim is.
Paul, write in and tell us how old you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, Paul, make another song wherein you sing your age.
Yes, sing your age in a falsetto if you don't mind. And let us know if you know who Tiny Tim is. Paul, we want you to be a guest on our show.
I'm fucking 40, I'm 30 years old.
Never heard of Tiny Tim, this is just what I sound like.
I like to sing high because I am high.
All right, and on that note, here's Andrew Green. He's throwing a little hip-hop
Andrew
into the
Green, hip-hop thing.
Yep.
This is Cool Pepper.
Ray Horseman Studios on Miranda Street. Adam Felber, Paula Poundstone.
This is Cool Pepper.
Laying it down. Get knowledge on Paula Poundstone. Go to college with Paula Poundstone. Maggie Smith won't call her on the phone. Got 13 cats at home. Thomas Coyne, he's not here. Put this podcast in your ear like a modern day Will Shakespeare. Got cheated by Frontier. Butterfinger bars, they're not right. Funny parts, mix it up in the kitchen. Mix it up in the kitchen, make it dynamite. Eating chocolate chips, yeah, every night. Watching movies in Adam's backyard. New vocabulary, man, it's so hard. Ken Lezebnik's avant-garde. Leaving Temmie and Nellie scarred. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. 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 Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
This goes on, doesn't it?
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Wow, that was great.
That was fantastic.
You know,
thank you so much.
Andrew, if you don't mind, you know, when Ken's back over the holiday maybe or something.
We'll play that again?
I'd like to play it again.
It's so great. Not only was there a great shout out to just about everybody on the show, there's some real deep fan details there, including the characters from Ken Lezebnik's America.
Ken Lezebnik's avant-garde.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was really
fantastic.
When
he goes back to teaching his MFA programs, he's going to demand more money.
Yeah, he can now.
Because he's avant-garde. I love that. That was fantastic.
Borderline is avant-garde in hip-hop. I love that piece.
Yeah, that was great.
All right. Now, if you have a theme song that you want to send to us, do so at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
That's the best way. Adam Felbert.
Oh, look at this.
It is French Trump.
French Trump, welcome.
I didn't do it. It is okay to do it, and I will do it again. He did it. French Trump.
French Trump.
I killed Baghdadi with my bare hands, and I killed Bag Mommy, too.
There was no Bag Mommy.
He died like a dog because I threw him a frisbee. You know, the plastic discs that a dude likes. I distracted him like I distract the American people.
French Trump, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Oui.
Could you say Doug again? Did you say Doug?
Doug.
Is that how a Frenchman says?
He died like a Doug. I killed him with my bare hands.
And can you say Frisbee again?
Frisbee.
Frisbee.
I'm
almost certain that's not right, French Trump.
Of the frisbee. I threw it for him in the back of a cave.
The cave?
In back of the cava.
Cava.
In back of the cava.
Again, the French Trump has a second draft on all his accents.
I didn't do it. It's okay to do it. I will do it again. He did it. I am French Trump.
How do you feel about the impeachment proceedings?
Impeachment?
Yes.
They cannot do it.
Why not?
It's not proper. You cannot investigate a sitting president, and I am sitting.
You are indeed sitting, but...
I am sitting. It may look like I'm squatting, but I am sitting.
Yeah, it does look like you're squatting. But you can investigate a president. That's the law, that there's an impeachment.
No, no.
What?
No. You are wrong, Adam Felbert. The Democrats are wrong. You cannot...
Could you say no again?
Investigate.
Would you say no again?
No.
See, now, that's fake French,
no.
French Trump.
No, it's not fake French.
It would be no.
It is not fake French. No. No,
you're nay. You're nay. No Frenchman does that. No respectable Frenchman.
We do. I'm French Trump, and that's exactly what we do.
All right, okay.
You cannot impeachment. I have great and unmatched wisdom.
Yes, you do. It's
Adam
definitely
Felbert.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for visiting, French Trump. Feel free to
You'll
talk
see
to
me again in the driveway on the south lawn of the White House. It's Bullshit Boulevard, Drivel Drive. That's where I talk.
Yes, Bullshit Boulevard. I don't know how we became a puppet show. I really don't. Now, Paula, you're going out on the road as usual.
Oh, my God. Yes, I'm going out on the road.
Where are you going to be performing in the
coming weeks? I love being a comic, but I hate self-promotion.
Oh, that's right.
I just don't like doing it.
All right, okay, that's right. My bad. Let's move on.
I'll be in Occoquan, Maine, at Jonathan's Occoquan. On November 29th.
A little bit of French Trump.
And I'm in Annapolis, Maryland, at the Ram's Head on stage on December 6th. They just added a second show.
Whoa.
Which sounds so great.
But it does.
What we're not telling you is it seats 50 people. And I'm in Key West at the Key West Theater on December 7th. That's only if I can get my luggage there.
Why wouldn't you be able to get
because
your luggage
Because when you
there?
Go to check-in from Los Angeles to go to Key West.
Uh-huh.
Right? I have an away bag.
I know.
That has 50 pounds of merchandise in it. Because,
yeah,
you know,
merch, sure.
Right. And then I have my regular clothing bag, another 50 pounds. And they'll go, we can only take one bag. What do you mean you only take one bag? We can only take one bag. You'll have, like, I checked in
to
one
Key
time.
West, you mean?
At like 5 in the morning, I'm checking in. They go, oh, do you have anybody who can come pick it up?
Wow.
You know, I don't know anyone who likes me well enough to come pick up my bag from LAX.
Can I make a suggestion
at
here?
At 5 in the morning.
I'm going to make a suggestion here.
Mm-hmm.
For Key West?
Yeah.
Take one bag.
But I go to two different dates before I go to Key West.
Oh, okay.
Do you see?
Yeah.
It's a hard to figure out puzzle.
Okay.
It's like trying to figure out why the 25 feet from the chickens. That's what I can't understand. Why?
You know what? It turns out she just didn't know.
Well, this is my point.
Yeah.
But why?
None of us know.
Why didn't she know? She knew everything else.
She sure was acting like she was concealing something.
Yeah.
But I don't think she was.
Yeah. No, I think she might have been in on the Trump phone call when he called the chickens and said, but one more thing, can I ask you a favor?
And the chickens are like, bah.
Yeah. He asked the chickens to investigate the badans. I asked the chicken to investigate the badans.
The badans?
The badans.
Is that how you say Biden in France? French Trump?
Hunter and Dieu badan. I asked the chicken, I said, well, have you seen them up to anything?
Bok, bok, bok.
Oh, tell me more, chicken.
Bark, 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 bark.
That is very interesting.
Bark, 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 quid pro quo. Bark, bark.
No, no, chickens, there's no quid pro quo. No, no, there is no quid pro quo.
Okay, now, if you want to send in a theme song, a vocabulary song, or just ask us a question, again, that email address is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. You could win a bar of fresh hotel soap autographed by Paula Poundstone.
I'm so glad you remembered it was fresh soap.
I wanted to do that for you this week.
That was great.
As really nobody listens to Paula Poundstone at gmail.com, we'll be back right after this.
No, 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 no.
According to climate scientists, we have 10 years and 10 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable.
Les oiseaux dans la charmille.
We are so thrilled at your interest in attending Hieronymus Wiggenstaff's School for Heroism and Villainy. Wiggenstaff's beautiful campus boasts state-of-the-art facilities and instructors with real-world experience. We are also proud to say that our alumni have gone on to be professional heroes and villains in the most renowned kingdoms in the world. But of course, you are not applying to the main school, are you? You're applying for our sidekick and henchperson annex. You will still benefit from the school's amazing campus, and you'll have a lifetime of steady employment. Of course, there's no guarantee how long that lifetime will be.
Join the McElroys as they return to Dungeons & Dragons with The Adventure Zone Graduation, every other Thursday on Maximum Fun, or wherever podcasts are found.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, 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 it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
Science?
And if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's nothing quite like sailing in the calm international waters on my ship, the SS Biopic.
Avast! It's actually pronounced biopic.
No, you dingus! It's biopic!
Who the hell says that? It's biopic. Because
it's the words for biography and picture.
All right, that is enough. Ahoy, I'm Dave Holmes. I am the host of the rebooted podcast formerly known as International Waters, designed to resolve petty but persistent arguments like this. How? By pitting two teams of opinionated comedians against each other with trivia and improv games, of course. Winner takes home the right to be right.
What podcast be this?
It's called Troubled Waters, where we disagree to disagree!
On this day in unremarkable history, Moses said, "Boy, you've got to remember to bend your knees when you lift those tablets."
Dun, da, da, da.
All right, we're back. But now, Paula, before we head off into this night and do our last couple of things, do you want to render a verdict on the Utz chips?
I do not feel that the Utz chips,
Right.
Brought, what was it?
the crunch that brings
us all.
I don't feel connected as a result of the crunch.
I'll go farther and I say I think it's a downright divisive crunch.
Yeah, it's really.
It's the politics of division are being played by this.
Honestly, yeah. This is almost like, you know, Thanksgiving dinner during the Trump years. Yeah. That's how ugly it's gotten in this room.
If you want your family to actually dissolve, serve Utz chips for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because it's already a pressure cooker, and you add shitty potato chips, that's it.
Uh-huh. Serve Utz chips, and they're going to serve the subpoenas.
That's right.
That's how ugly it gets.
It gets really ugly. And now, Paula, this is customarily the time of the show where I ask you if you have any messages for our listener. But
you know, I do.
From what I understand. Oh, I do. Okay.
Adam, I think I speak for both of us when I say that we love doing this podcast.
We do.
As we've discussed in the past, the hair in the salad, the turd in the pool, the texting at the party, is that we can only continue to make the podcast if we grow our listenership.
Yeah, that's the rub.
Therefore, speaking for myself now. I have been selling performance CDs, my remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirts with a self-portrait on the front and a memorable quote on the back, my book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, in paperback, hardcover, and audio versions, my book, There's Nothing in This Book That I Meant to Say, the audio version, and soon, custom-made catnip-filled cat toys, all of which are available at paulapoundstone.com. In an effort to raise enough money to advertise our podcast during the Super Bowl.
Oh, is that the goal?
Yeah.
Because if you advertise our podcast during the Super Bowl, I guess we'd get a lot of listeners.
Right, exactly.
Like 100 million people watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an expensive ad there, Paula.
Well, I do have a plan B, which is for our listeners themselves to spread the word about our podcast.
It's a little bit of a roundabout trip to get here, but here we are.
But as you know, Adam, sometimes our listeners find that telling their friends and loved ones that they listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
No, but comedy fans, this is what's known as the premise.
Can be an awkward conversation.
Sure could be.
So I have written some simple sample dialogue to wax paper that slide. Try this.
To wax paper that slide?
Yeah. When we were kids and we go on the sled, we always use wax paper on it.
Oh, didn't know.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Okay.
Try this.
So this is a simple sample dialogue for our listeners who might have trouble communicating their fandom for our show to their friends.
Precisely.
Okay.
Because some find
it
awkward.
Novel concept,
Adam.
But I don't know where you're going with this, Paula, but go ahead.
Listener's friend, I am so glad to see you. So you've gone vegan, huh? It looks like this was the perfect restaurant to take you to. I can't wait to hear all about your life. I mean, you were an insurance adjuster, and then you just went off to the tropical forest of South America to live among sloths. That's amazing. How's your food? My gluten-free bowl with the beef-shaped carrots and the chicken-inspired roast nuts is a little dry. You were smart to get just a leaf and a mango for dessert. So tell me everything. What was it like? You've got a little mango on your face.
This is really, really specific, I would say.
Listener, it was great. Listener's friend, how did you do it? I mean, how did you fit in among a group of two-toed sloths? Listener, I only have two toes. Listener's friend, I guess that's right. You're getting mango juice on your shirt. You know, I've known you for years, and I never knew you wanted to live among sloths. When did this come up? You're going to fall off that chair. Oh, I see. You're hanging off the back of the chair. Listener, for a long time, I've been listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. I never told you because
oh my God.
It felt awkward. See, Adam?
Yeah.
Listener's friend.
Yes, this
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, told you to go live with sloths? That's just weird. That's like a cult. Did you have to pay money? Was it a multi-level marketing scheme? Do you have a garage full of cleaning products? Was there Kool-Aid? Listener. No. They did have a sloth on the show a couple of times.
Keep going.
But this it wasn't that. I laugh my ass off listening each week.
Bonnie's been taking pictures all night. She's missing.
And they seem to be having so much fun. Plus, I'm sure they're not making any money. So I felt inspired to go do something fun. And money be damned.
Listener's friend. Really? Wow, that sounds fantastic. I'm going to start listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. I think we pay at the register. Let's get out of here. Do you need help getting out of the chair? Listener.
It's not good to move me.
Okay, that's quite a dialogue there, Paula. So you're saying that in a situation where a listener is inspired enough by our podcast to travel to South America and live among sloths, and indeed is slowly becoming a sloth, as evidenced by their increasingly slower diction at this very dinner, this would be the kind of way that they might be able to share that with their friend.
Exactly. It's one listener at a time, Adam. It's one listener at a time.
A very specific listener.
Yeah. But, I mean, people really enjoy the show. And that kind of levity, that kind of lightning, that kind of thinking outside of the box, you know, inspires them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm inspired by the fact that you went ahead and ate almost an entire mango. Yeah. And, when I say ate, I mean there's a lot of it on your shirt and pants right now. but it was both inspirational and just flat out disgusting.
Can you help me get upside down in my chair?
I'm not going to help you get upside down in your chair. You know what? I thank you for that one, Paula. You took us on a trip. You painted a picture with words. And I'm sure it's really going to help us get more listeners. All right, nobody's
out. I painted a picture with words and mango.
And mango. Oh, no, you painted your wardrobe with mango. All right, nobody's. Remember, our email address again is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. That was a treat.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com.
That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber.
So you can see how it could happen.
It seems so likely almost. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Jamie Chamberlain. Woo! That was fantastic. And thanks to our guest, Kelly Rutkowski. And Woo! We are going to find out your secrets, Kelly. Security muscles provided by Tyler Knives Burke. Thank you, Knives.
He needs 25 feet.
Transcription services for this show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Time to say goodbye. Paese che non ho mai. No, non esisto non più. Io con te.
Uts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.